is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, April 17th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. Numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, if you're calling from the family island, the number is 242-300-5720. If you're texting, 422-4796, and that's the BTC text line that you can text. I want to talk not necessarily about politics, but something grabbed my attention on one of my social media platform. I came across a video, and you see me trying to transfer it to Kermit, and I just don't know where I got it from. And I uploaded it to my personal page, and I'm having difficulty finding it to forward to get that good sound bite to play. I'm going to transcribe the video. I'll tell you what it's going to be about, and I'm going to have to put my phone next to the mic to be able to play it. So you have to bear with me, all right, so you can hear it properly. So I need some time to make sure I rewind it properly, right? And we're rewinding it properly so you can hear it. Okay, so let me tell you what it's about. It's about a defense force officer, or so the person can proclaim that they are, and apparently that's what he is. And he is making a public appeal. It's him, the man, the person, created him, recorded himself in an emotional state. It was no bad emotional state, but appealing to the public, to let the public know his concern, right? His concern is that he's a defense force officer. The defense force officer has recalled him. He's on sick leave at this present time. He's on sick leave, and the defense force has recalled him to come and to speak to the commission, the commandant, I guess, or who, or whatever place he has to come speak to. They send a specialty unit, investigative unit, to him personally and say, hey, you are now summoned to come to the Defense Force base to speak to the Commodore, etc. And I ad-lib in here, right? Like I said, I can play it. So you hear it from his voice. His concern in his emotional state is, let me say what he's concerned. He said these special forces who they were sent to get him, wants him to come back to work. He's out on sick leave, and they saw him politicking, you know, whatever he's doing for the campaign. He's actively involved in the campaign. And from what I'm understanding, and I'm going to play it so you can understand where I'm going with it. From what I'm understanding is they saying if you are healthy enough to be able to politic, you are healthy to return back to work. Right? Yes, I was told I could send it back in 2 minutes, but I'm going to get ready to play it right now. But I can do that. It's on my Facebook page. That's what it is. I just can't find the video. Right? And he is concerned that he feels like he's being victimized, that it's his constitutional right. And this is what the show is going to be about, one's constitutional right if one is a civil servant. I'm trying to understand what is a public servant, what is a civil servant, what is the rules regarding this type of time. I tried, had a civil servant show. I called some big names and asked him, can you send a representative come so we can explain what general orders is about, please? So these questions like that, we could ask and say, what if I'm sick? Who do I go to for in general orders? What if I have a part-time job? What if I have a competing job? What if I'm in part of the union? You know, general information, nothing. But I find public serving people scary. And I guess they have to get permission from whatever minister, everything's politics, to come on the show. And I said, but this is good for the general public. I just want somebody to explain what general orders is and how human resources are and you know, what is the steps, you know, general things that are PS. I even asked for some PS to come, retired PS, current PS, to explain what is their job in regards to the ministry, you know. When the minister wants to, like, implement a policy, how do you implement it into the system? Like, what is the steps? General questions like that. So we can understand what a PS, and even in terms of what type of education one needs to become a PS, where you start from, and how does one become appointed to be a permanent secretary. But nobody wanted to come on the show. I mean, I asked again. And I asked again. I even called three ministers. I called three ministers personally and said, man, I need some help. I'm trying to do this show. And they said, yeah, Nuri. And nothing, right? Nothing. But anyway, without further ado, I'm going to play this. Let me make sure this rewind to the stop, to the beginning. I'm going to put it next to the mic and hopefully you will understand it because I have some things I want to read because I look for general orders to see if I can help him, if people who are facing the same issue, if they know what to do. So let me do that right now.
A pleasant good afternoon to all this weedy boy here. This is the first time in a long time I cried. I out here trying to get a better future for myself and my life. I got hit on the defense force. I had 5 major surgeries. I had bullets, plate screws in my back. Defense force sent an intelligence and people wrong to try to tell me I have to report to headquarters because I was just standing for my constitutional rights and trying to help Mr. Darren Enfield, a man who come to me and helped me to pay for my medication, helping me with resources to try to sustain myself. After the government is not helping me. The government ain't helping me. I get hurt on the job. I don't have my salary depleted, loan out. I don't have no help. My medication bills high. I have to go support him because they ain't supporting me and they ain't looking at me. And now they trying to come threatening me. And that's horrible. That's horrible. I'm for serving my country and my life changing. They trying to hurt me. They always trying to come at me. Always.
And I want to empathize with the gentleman because clearly he's in an emotional state. I'm going to play it one more time so you can understand the gist of what I'm trying to do. Because I'm going to read some general orders now. If anyone of you have any advice for the good gentleman, reach out to the good gentleman. You can do that too, right? Because hear that he's clearly distraught. You can hear some desperation in his voice, right? So I don't want to belittle what he's going through. He's frustrated. He's frustrated. And he's saying, man, he believes he's being victimized. But he said he had a medical incident on the job. He's hurt. He has some surgery. Back hurt. And they spent a special intelligence unit, and the special intelligence unit spot him, in quotes, my word, working politicking, where they say, if you could do this, you could come in and do a series of whatever jobs there are available at the base. And they demand forthwith that he comes to the base. Let me play it one more time, and so you can understand the gist of it, so we can have the discussion properly.
A pleasant good afternoon to all this weedy boy here. This is the first time in a long time I cried. I out here trying to get a better future for myself and my life. I got hit on the defense force. I had 5 major surgeries. I had bullets, plate screws in my back. Defense force sent an intelligence and people. to try to tell me I have to report to headquarters because I out here standing for my constitutional rights and trying to help Mr. Darren Enfield, a man who come to me and helped me to pay for my medication, helping me with resources to try sustain myself. After the government is not helping me. The government ain't helping me. I get hurt on the job. I don't have my salary depleted, loan out. I don't have no help. My medication bill's high. I have to go support him because they ain't supporting me and they ain't looking at me. And now they trying to come threatening me. And that's horrible. That's horrible. After serving my country and my life changing, they trying to hurt me. They always trying to come at me. Always.
Yes. And the gentleman is distraught. And I, like I said, I'm playing that from my phone. I was trying to send it to the producer. That wasn't working. So forgive me for the tinging in the background because I really wanted to play it. So I'm going to read General Orders 949, Section 4, Section C, Section A, whatever those numbers mean, which speaks about public or public in whichever scale and what can they be doing in the election. Let me pull that up now so I can read from that. It'll give me some other good information too. This chapter is called Chapter 9, Rules of Conduct, Private Work. It goes 900, 901, 902, 903, and so on, 904. And I think I'm reading, which one am I reading? 904? Reading. It's good, like it's 904. Give me a couple seconds, just making sure. There's a lot to read. I'm just trying to make sure I get the right one. So bear with me. Okay, I see it here. Okay. Political activities of civil servant. That's the heading. This is 949 of the code, right? General orders, right? 949, political activities of civil servants. And I can read more of this later on, but this is a particular part I want to read. One, the first duty of a public officer is to give his undivided allegiance to the state, that is, to the government of the day. In joining the public service, a public officer voluntarily enters a profession in which his service to the public will take a non-political form. And whatever may be his political inclination, his impartiality in the performance of his duty must be beyond suspicion. It follows, therefore, that a public officer should not normally take any active part in matters of public or political controversy, and particularly if the matter is one with which he is officially concerned. Two, political activities in the Bahamas may be defined as follows. A, adoption as a candidate for election to the House of Assembly. B, holding public office in a party political organization. C, speaking in public on matters of national political controversy. D, expressing views on such matters in letters to the press or in books, articles, leaflets, or by broadcasting or on television. And E, canvassing or distributing pamphlets, etc., on behalf of a candidate or political party. This definition of political activity does not deprive an officer of his right to membership of a political party. 3. As regard to paragraph 2A, above, where any public officer or employee seeks adoption for election in the House of Assembly, he will, if adopted, be required to resign forthwith from the public service. 4. As regards remaining political activities defined in paragraphs 2B, C, D, and E above, the public service may be divided into three groups. A, a politically restricted group, that is, the senior public officers, particularly those whose duties include advising ministers or who may be serving in a sensitive post or in a senior influential position as defined in paragraph 5A. Below, who are completely debarred from all political activities. B, the immediate group, that is, the large group of typists, clerks, technicians, etc., who are eligible for freedom to engage in all political activities, but only if specific permission is granted and subject to conditions which may be imposed. C, the politically free group, that is, the unestablished weekly paid employee and equivalent who are completely free to engage in all political activities, those free to engage in political activities, or those who may be granted permission and may not, of course, engage in such activities during official hours of work or an official premises or in official uniform, and such activities must not otherwise interfere by performance of official duties. The three groups referred to in paragraph 4 above require to be clearly defined. Therefore, as follows. A politically restricted group. All public officers in scales which start at $11,000 per annum and above, including officers in scale 1 at salaries of $11,000 per annum and above. 2. All public officers serving in any post in the Governor General's office, in the Cabinet office, in the Ministry of Finance, in the service commissions, the House of Assembly, in the Senate, the Parliamentary Registration Department, principals and vice principals of schools, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Public Service, and anyone in the Ministry of National Security. All other officers and men in the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Immediate group. All public officers not listed in A above appearing in scales which start below $11,000 per annum. All public officers serving as teachers, etc., other than principals and vice principals listed in 52 in scales of S10 to S13. 3. All public officers serving in unestablished posts, the maximum salary of which exceeds the equivalent of $9,000 per annum, permission to engage in political activities will not be unreasonably withheld from officers serving in posts in the immediate group. C. Politically free group. All officers and employees not included in group A and B above, apart from the foregoing and character. And character of any public service depends entirely on its loyalty, integrity, ability, and impartiality. It follows, therefore, that public officers should maintain a code of reserve in all political matters, and that the public airing of an officer's own political views may destroy that impartiality which any government may expect of its own public service. To ensure, therefore, that standards are upheld, it may be necessary in a case of serious indiscretion to consider action against public officer concern. I wanted to read that. And like I said, this particular code of conduct, general orders, rules of conduct, goes in detail from 900, private work from 900, tells you what all works you can do if you work for government. What all general orders prohibits, who all get exceptions, right? And how can the permanent secretary give you a permission to do certain things? But this particular one I wanted to read was about this particular Defense Force officer and whether he can politic and be active, whether any kind of police officer and Defense Force officer, and they give you a list of persons in that primary group who is not supposed to be politicking. Right? So I feel empathy for the good gentleman. But how are you out there politicking? Right? He should know better. Right? Perhaps we just don't know, like he does not know, that you're sick. And if you're sick, you can't be up and down and gallivanting about 2, even though you say it's your constitutional right to support whoever you want to support, the general orders plainly say, it plainly says, you can't be out there politicking. You got to be impartial, and they say the defense force and the police force are amongst that primary group that not supposed to be doing any kind of obvious political activity. So I feel for him. I feel for him saying he's working to make his money because he's sick and needs support, whatever it is. But if you're out there campaigning, the Commodore could call you in. And you're out there campaigning. Subsequently, the Commodore has called you in. And even though I might be emotionally tied to you and say, Lord, let me speak life into your issues and that things work out well, what you're doing ain't good. You need to stop, cease and desist, and you know, and go see the Commodore and speak to him and let him know your back's still hurting and you need some support. Let's go to the call. It's open line day today. I have a couple of things I want to talk about, but you can always call in. And I wanted to just bring that to light and hear what's your opinion on that particular topic. I see I have a number of texts, and I see I have a caller now who wants to engage me regarding that. So let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. You're AM, you're live.
Morning, Neil. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
All right. Isn't that statement a little bit after the fact?
Well, I just found it out. So it got to be after the fact. I just found it out just now. And I read.
No. I mean, after the fact that, in the sense, when the, if there's a change in government, right, the hierarchy of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force goes through a shift, a change. You know, this is a problem at the top. You know, this is just persons doing what they see, you know, those folks with a larger responsibility doing. I mean, you know, we kind of being naive in what's going on in this country, you know. We have the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the police as a kind of musical chairs thing each 5 years, and they expect the public to be doing different. They singing for themselves just like anybody else. You know, I mean, even our friend, God, right, yesterday, said publicly, you know, he had to get his. You know, he had to get his. As to what that means, I can only speculate. Anyway, I hope you lead this into a deeper conversation, you know?
I can try.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks very much for calling. I grew up in a public service family. My stepfather worked for government, senior police, right? When it was time for me to vote, we always wear our own clothes. Or he instructed me, you must wear your own clothes. You cannot show which particular political party you support. I marry into another civil service type family, senior. We call it politically exposed. I'm a politically exposed person. I don't know how I get one, but now I'm a politically exposed person. When I get in my car insurance, I got to have letters written. When I get in opening a bank account, they acknowledge me as a politically exposed person. I don't know how I get one, but I guess through association, I'm a politically exposed person. Via my bank, I have to get a separate different type of bank account, and other people got to sign on with me and insurance the same way, just trying to get my car insurance. So I personally have never, I'm 40-odd, I've never attended a rally. Some people like say, how is that possible? I have never attended a rally because of my politically exposed lifestyle, I guess, and because of how I my family is in terms of being senior government officials type thing, or part of the civil service, whatever it is. I'm trying to get the right word. So I go wearing my own clothes. We go wearing our own clothes. I never had to campaign. I could tell the person, I'm interested. I'm interested in knowing I support you, right? But I can't show my hand. So when the caller called me and say, who do you openly support? I remember that in the back of the head. No, I can't say that out loud. You could have me perhaps call me on the side and say who you support. But I try to be in the middle as best as I can. And of course, you know, I guess I have my biases. And you might could see a bias here and there. But in the main, in terms of my conversations, You see, I go back and forth as much as best as I can, putting both all the parties forward as best as I can, right? So when I see this Defense Force officer making his appeal, right, it's an emotional appeal. I understand what he's going through. He's in pain. And he's saying that he must campaign in order to get access to money. And I said, how come he doesn't know about general orders? I see so much. I saw one just recently. I saw one lady who works for government in a legal firm. And in the advertisement, and I said, but I know that lady. That lady works for the public service and she high up. How come she in the rally clothes? And the politicals know her too because she's a prominent person. How is it that she's able to campaign so openly and being recorded and knowing that she's being recorded, taking days off as a government official and say, man, she's going to campaign for her party? And I say, I have a problem with that because I was brought up to know better, to do better, right? And it seems that as we move forward to accommodate people, right, we are allowing people to challenge this, which is created to protect all of us, to make sure there's no biases permeate through the civil service, the public service. And we're allowing people to bring in their political talks, their political antics, their emotionalism to the public service. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think someone needs to tell them, hey, I know you is a red, white, and blue, black, right? But you can't bring that here. This apolitical territory here. You know, you got to talk about that outside, right? Let me read this text and go to the caller right now. Say, good morning, Mr. Nuri. I truly empathize with the gentleman's situation, but I wonder whether he knew of the information that you read or previously did and may have forgotten. If you are able to inform him online, Mr. Nuri, could you please tell him he probably should have written to his superior asking for his consideration and permission to be able to assist the MP so that he could be financially compensated to allow him to purchase his needed medication? Man, he's a big man. He's supposed to know that. He been in looking at his age at the video. He should have been on the force for at least 5, 10, 15 years, so he should be familiar with general orders. That's a part of the civil servants, the public service. He should know general orders. He should be knowing from the back of his hand. This text says, you know, the same way they had the poor German under surveillance over political actions, they should have noticed that he was desperate for help. This young man is fighting for his very survival. My God, have a heart. And the same way he's able to politic, they're saying he's able to work a desk job. He's able to be a courier and a messenger. The Defense Force has so many positions that I'm sure that they can find. They have commissary, you know, you shopkeeper, right? You just come there and whatever it is, you can pack shelves. And they seen him doing all this vigorous work, campaigning and walking for miles and whatever it is. And I say, if he could do that, sure, he could come to work. He could come to work. And then there's a problem, why all his salary stressed out where he can't get any spam? You know, when you work for government, there's a threshold where you say, man, I can't go no further than this. I can't get no loan. But, you know, some people make mistakes. I come to you right now, caller, so don't hang up. I read this last text and come straight to you. Say, this is why I like this station, CA. I like the way you're approaching this brain for general orders while giving the human aspect. Like I said, I understand the being pain. I understand to be sick. I understand to be desperate. I understand, especially during this time, money is making, and you, if you stuck and you able to just say, I can walk and campaign, you can make some extra money in your pocket. And I say, go and do it. But there's general orders. And if you want to come on social media and spread your business and risk yourself and make yourself more vulnerable by saying, but I have a constitutional right, when you know there's general orders, you're putting yourself at risk. Let's go to this caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller. Hey. Go ahead, I can hear you now. Thing.
Yeah, so I was one of the techs that if he could call it, if he could do that, he can't be on sick leave if he could actually get up and go about for campaigning, no matter which party it was, he could do. That means he's eligible to come back to work, and he shouldn't, and he's collecting a salary. While he's supposedly sick and can't be at work, I think that's probably where the issue is. Not so much who he was campaigning with, or the fact that he is campaigning as a party. I think it was a little while back, I don't know if it was during Ingram's time, when a number of civil servants, when it became okay to campaign. And I think it has to do with the general orders does not supersede the Constitution. Mm. So general orders is weak in a lot of areas. And so if they tried that for public servants, you can't associate. And plenty of public servants, they have government cars at these functions and all.
Yes, and campaigning with the government car.
And at campaigns. So that's nonsense. Ain't no one listening to that because general orders can't tell you who you could do. Now, I could have a problem with you carrying the government car to these functions. Okay, I could disagree with that. But I think that's where general orders fall. And if they try it, how you could tell me who I can't associate with on my free time and who I can't wear? Are you saying that because by virtue of I'm a person, you're saying one person gets a free ride to be able to go and I don't? That ain't equality in the Constitution. So I think that's why they don't enforce it. They just will tell you, be careful, don't choose sides, do not target people because you're on one side alone. Singham, you don't use your platform or your portfolio or your position to go after someone else in another party and government. So I think that's where the problem would be. But I don't think they could. I don't think it'll hold water if they even try. Thanks, man.
Thank you very much for your call. I think it was 2007. Mr. Ingram evoked the Constitution and said everybody has a right to associate with whatever political party. And I think it was a comment about the police force and whether the police force can campaign and be actively political. And he made that declaration. Yeah, of course they can. According to the Constitution, yes, you can. But according to general orders, you ain't supposed to do it. You ain't supposed to do it. You can't have any political bias or showing it. Right, so I want to say that. It says, this text says, good morning, please advise persons if they got hurt on the job that our NIB covers workers' compensation and he should go to NIB, not a political candidate for assistance. I've been out sick once in my life. I try to remember what happened. I had muscle spasms, back was killing me, couldn't lift my hand up at all. And I went to NIB because it was my first time being sick. Right. And I presented because I worked in tourism and I presented my documents, whatever the documents. And the NIB person says, I had 2 weeks off. I had 2 weeks off to get myself back in order. The NIB person said, the first 3 days don't count. So I had 2 weeks off. That's 14 days. I use my hand. I can't count. So take that off. That's 14 days. Hold on. That's, I can't count four here. The first 3 days don't count. That's 7. And that's 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 days leave, right? Then they said weekends don't count. So take that two off. That's 4 days. Out of the 14 days that my doctor gave me off, they paid me, NIB, paid me for 4 days. And I said, man, that ain't fair, man. I've been off for 2 weeks. And what do you mean you only pay me for 4 days? So I could see how going to NIB may not be economically sound for some people. They got to go and hustle because the money ain't the same. They don't pay for the weekends. And I work in tourism, and weekends that's work. They schedule me on the weekends. So this text says, anyone who made that statement doesn't understand back injuries. Everyone is different. You may be able to walk around all day, but incapable of sitting in a chair for 15 minutes. What the Royal Bahamas Defense Force needs is a statement from a doctor detailing that the Marine can and cannot do. I know of a lady who works for government who has been off from work. She had like 3/4 pay, then gone to half pay, then gone to 1/4 pay. I think it's 1/16 now pay. That's what she's on. She's getting paid. And in fact, she opened her own business. She's been off from working on 2-3 years now. She had some injury. And the government always asks them, when you coming back? And she said, oh, she's still hurt. She started her own business, right? She's really working out of a car in terms of selling food and selling clothing or whatever it is. Then she moved on and opened up her own shop. She still worked for government, by the way. No? But She been off grid on 2-3 years now, receiving whatever pay they give her. And she opened up her own business. So some people be sick for life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and they ain't making no effort to go back to work. They're just collecting that pay, right? They were working towards that pension time to say, well, for the 10 years I'm vested, 6 of those years I've been home working on my own to do to do. Let's go to the call again. Guiding Radio AM, you're live.
Yes, good morning to you. Good morning, Bahamas.
Good morning, man.
Yeah, well, I beg the difference because, like I said, that the French was officer, right? You have to take so many things into account. First of all, paying to anybody is real. Going to NIB to apply for whatever the industrial matter that happened on the job take almost forever. And when you think about it, the compensation that you're going to get for it cannot even touch the needle. Depends on the what type of injury you sustain. That can't even touch the surface. So where is the other financial support is coming from? Your salary is basically to try do take care of your bills and other expenses that you incur over the course of the month. And so now you need this money to get this added medical attention that you need. And it is not there in NIB because that is true. And that is more true today because in some cases, when you as soon as you 2 weeks off, the job say, you know, we're not compelled to pay you anymore. You go to NIB and let them pay you for these 2 weeks that you're off. So that make matters even worse in the most recent times. So I understand the plight of that officer.
So before
key to life is survival, right?
Before you
so
go,
you got to do whatever it takes to survive, as long as it really don't violate the law, so to say that you know. But these things that we had placed there from time immemorial need to be revised, man. You know, we got to look futuristic.
Let me interject here, Colin.
Different times and circumstances.
Colin, let me ask you this before you go. When is a good time when the job say, hey, you've been off this job now for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, say you're on sick leave. When can they dismiss you and say you need to find something else, I need to hire somebody else?
No, if you actually get hired on that job, right, there should always be liability in terms of you got injured at work. Thank you. Okay. You got injured at work, and you need to be compensated, right? So sometimes some people be out for 3-4 years, depends on the nature of the injury, because you might have need to go have several MRIs and might have to travel overseas to get medical treatment that may not be available here in the Bahamas. All of these things have to be factored in. Then you have the ordinary person who grab a government vehicle, drive in a rally, and could care less. And so there must be a distinct difference, man. We these things need to be revised. We need to look at this.
Okay. I appreciate you, Carl. Let me read some of these texts and go to this next caller. Yeah, it says, the Bay needs to go back to work. They don't fall under general orders. They are under military orders. That's what that text says. And Reed just says, he needs to be fired. And the money's for sick he got returned. Take a leave of absence and go to campaign. After he was better, if he wanted to campaign, you simply ask for a leave of absence. He didn't want to leave absence. He wanted to be paid. And he said he got sick on the job, get hurt on the job. He have a constitutional right to campaign, he says. And he ain't asked his own permission. He said they victimized him. They saying that they spent a special unit to watch him, record him, assess his injuries. And now they're trying to call him in to see the Commodore of the Defense Force. And he's distraught, saying he believes he's being victimized. You know? Anyway, we'll take this quick commercial break. I see you, Carlo. We'll engage you on the next side of this break. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
You in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room.
you won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is definitely the time for BOMC to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology, there's now year-round container farming, you have hydroponics, you have aquaponics, you have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands, because in BOMC, we are not just cultivating produce, we're cultivating producers.
Paid for by the PLP.
Love the show? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Stevia, live, watch it, oi! Bloodhound, one more time.
Jail is high, your champion's high.
Say what?
When you look in your neighbor's cell, boy, they look so sad.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I see the phone lines are lit. Yesterday, during nomination day, I saw there were scores, hundreds, if not nearly thousands of Bahamians who either took the day off or just are not employed to walk with their candidate to have him be nominated. Is it that these people just don't work? Or is it that people who work in the civil service, who work in private service, who say, man, you know what? I ain't going into work. I ain't going into work because my MP needs me. My candidate needs me. Therefore, I need to take this day off. I don't care about the money or they paying people. Remember when the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party was complaining that people are demanding that they be paid, and they said that's not about campaigning. Have they started paying people yet? Have they started paying people yet? Or they just concede and say, you know what? Yeah, we have no other choice. The pressure toll. And now they have to pay people to come out. Like, do they campaign for free? Or are just people just content with getting food at the campaign? They've been grilling like crazy, you know? I surely got to get a stipend. Let's go to the callers. Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri.
Nuri, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
They don't call it pay. They call it reward.
Reward?
Yeah, up to $300 a week.
But how much?
$300 a week.
I could do that.
Right.
I could do that.
But see, that's for the unemployed, the unemployed and the discouraged worker. That 20% of our population that, you know, that don't go to work.
That's a lot. Does everybody get the $300 or only some people, like selected?
No, some people, you know, like let's say you have a general, a bagman that's supposed to pay them. You might pinch a little bit of the bread before, you know, pinch a little bit of the slice before you give it to you. But for some of them, something is better than nothing.
Yeah.
But then you have to understand, some of them, well, say they walking around, they be home watching TV and come back and say, the people with you, man, that's why they be surprised when they lose. So there's no wonder they're to police them.
Okay.
You have to take their words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but let me just say, if the general audits, right, we need to look at general audits to see, maybe a judicial view to see if it violates the Constitution. That's the one thing about it. But I wanted to talk about this, about where we are today politically, right? If you listen to the person in that video, he said he's loaned out, maxed out, meaning that the bank and other people are getting all of his loans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. And so when we start talking about right-sizing the economy, the problem is that these individuals, and many of them in civil service, is maxed out, but their personal economy hasn't grown the much inflation in decades. And so then when you transition to this concept of the major part of the cost of living is housing, right? That there then puts them in a disadvantaged position because they can't qualify for housing. Then they then become subject to the whims of landlords who raise it up. And so when we talk about this, I hear the people talk about this concept of, oh, we need rent control. Do you know what's control rent? The free market. Because you could charge whatever you want for rent. If I enter the market and I build 500 units and my rent is $500-$600 a month, your place will just stay empty. And so the problem is that it's not coming up with ideas to subdue the cost by forcing landlords to charge less than whatever it may be. The thing is to increase an inventory. And this is why my wife and I has done studies for the last 7+ years, and we have not found a single in our study that there's a problem in housing as we talk about it now. There's a difference between housing and home ownership. Home ownership falls under housing, right? But there's not a housing problem in the fact that it can be solved. The problem with solving the housing problem is that we don't have people with the economy to pay for it. Because you could get 200, 300, 400 contractors right now, right, to build one house a month. That's 4,000 houses, which we need every year. But the question is, who do they sell it to if the people don't qualify? So it's the personal economies of these individuals that don't. So when you factor in, for instance, energy, that we supposed to have the cost of energy, do you see in this energy strategy the government has any reduction of consumption before they start talking about improving the price? Because as long as those engines is running at full capacity, the price is not going down, separate and apart from these PPPs they're signing. And so this is where we allow them to come out and come up with defective. Because when you solve a problem, I've said this many times, no problem we face exists in isolation.
Hello, you there? Okay. Hello? Okay, let's go to the next caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Yes, good day. I'm calling about the Defense Force officer, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, okay, that's his name.
He is being victimized.
Who victimized him?
We have uniformed members of the Defense Force, Kalisa Fowler, as a matter of fact.
You can't be calling Kalisa Fowler like that.
And she is on the job in a PLP paraphernalia, posting.
We don't call him. She's like, I gotta cut you, but I understand you what you're trying to say. I gotta cut you. You can't be calling citizens like that. The woman in her uniform in PLP paraphernalia posting. Yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's go to the next caller. Guided Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Listen, I take objection to the caller who told just before the lady. I think it's C. Allen, whatever his name is,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is not a talk on him, but I just have a couple of questions. Because he seems to be an expert on every single subject matter across the Bahamas. But I take objection to his description of those who are out and supporting the candidates. Because I don't fall in the category he described, okay? And I was one of those who are out there supporting the candidates of my choice or support of whether it be a friend, et cetera. And we are small-minded to think that everybody doesn't have a day off or can request a day off, or in fact that they may even have a night shift and or may even work for themselves, right? And so since I've been paid, and I'm not going to challenge that because persons may get a stipend. I don't know. I certainly do not. But there's a cross-section of persons who are out there supporting. And I would be interested to know if he's referring to any particular party or he's also referring to the class of people he described as well as the person to support the party that he is supporting. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to like start thinking out of the box and stop being small-minded when it comes to when you see crowds. Because on any given day, there's a large volume of people that have day off. Not everybody works the traditional 9-to-5, and not everybody works for government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to, like, you know, get a better angle of our thought processes in terms of, and stop classifying people and think that everybody is out there looking for something. Because some persons may have a bigger vision and looking in terms of what the government is doing. They may feel that this is the right trajectory to go on, or they may feel equally that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And some persons are out there to ensure that things may go in the direction that they feel they go in. But to stereotype the supporters, and this is across any of the parties, to stereotype them and classify those voices, I think he owes those supporters across all parties an apology for putting
you.
Them or classing them as those type of persons, whether it be unemployed or whatever description he gave. That's an insult to those supporters. And I think he owes them a public apology across this radio for blanketing. That's just my position. And I would ask that I want to know what qualifies him to be an expert on ethnic matter. And the reason I call him, I don't normally call your show. This is my first time calling.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to talk shows across the divide. And he seems to call every single talk show. I'm trying to figure out what type of work this fella does. But again, it's not an attack on him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to know, come to the Bahamian people and tell him what qualifies him to be an expert on every single subject matter, whether it be social, financial, economical, because he seems to be a, he seems to know everything. And but, you know, I take offense to that because I was out there, and that's why I'm particularly voicing my opinion as related to it. And I don't fall in that category.
I appreciate
it. I don't care
call.
To describe the category for them, but I take offense, and he needs to give those people an apology.
Yes, sir. Let's see if I can squeeze one more caller in. Say, good morning, CA. You are not a hustler like... No, I can't read that about that. No. Says, give him my number and have him ask me to see Alan. Say, you can call him. Let's see. CA, most of those people you saw are civil servants, just... This Christmas time with public service ain't no work going on. Let's go see if I can squeeze in one of these callers. Go ahead, caller. Give you 30 seconds.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead. Guide Radio AM, go ahead.
I see.
Hey.
I'm calling on the red plates at the rallies and at the campaign offices, right? Hello?
I'm here, Slim. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was privileged to have a red plate
mm-hmm.
one time. And before I got it, my PS told me this vehicle should not be seen at no political rallies, right? No no bars, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I never drove my red plate on the weekend, only on my work hours. Right, and I think it's bad to see a red plate park at a political rally and also at a campaign, political campaign office.
We have become very lax regarding these things. It's very sad that we have become that way.
Hello?
Yeah, but I appreciate you calling. I agree with you fully. You hear me there, caller? Anyway, it is now 12:01. I enjoyed this conversation. I want to extend greetings to everybody. I have two funerals to go to this weekend. I feel like a politician. I'm going to go funeral to funeral. Take care of yourself. I see you on Monday, right? Enjoy your weekend, right? This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a blessed day.
When you look in your neighbor's cell, boy, they look so sad. Jail is high. HMP is high. If you've never been to jail, boy, don't feel bad. Good. Come on. Serious life. One more time. All you bound don't cry.
them time. Just stir the trouble, boy, and you'll be fine.
You better
just do the right thing, and you'll stay out.
And you'll stay out.
Trust me, boy, I know what I'm talking about.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.